It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 12. We're going to begin reading with the sixth verse today, Exodus chapter 12, verse 6. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'm glad that you've joined us. I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. It's just a wonderful time that we have together, and I hope that you're enjoying it. I hope salvation has come into your household because of the Word of God, whether it be through this program or others, or I hope that you are already saved, your salvation has come, and this is a help to you in growing in the Word of God. So please that you, if you do have come by faith to Jesus Christ, you have enjoyed the growth of the Word of God, why, you could write to us, if you wouldn't mind, to Parkview Bible Church. It's Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Now let's begin the study. Exodus chapter 12, we're going to begin reading with the sixth verse. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast it with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire. His head with his legs and with his prudence thereof, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until this morning, till the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes of your feet, loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. Ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread, from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. Please that you will guide and lead us today in this study. Touch every heart with it. The purpose of this program and the purpose of this study is that people's hearts are touched by your word, either touched for the purpose and the reason of salvation, or touched that their lives will grow so close to you that they will fellowship and visit with you and seek your will and way and follow after that will and way each and every day. Please, dear Lord, that you'll guide and lead us today as we enjoy this study. And again, I want your will done, and I want people's hearts to change and lives to change. So please, dear Lord, this be the action of the day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we've spent quite a bit of time there with the sixth verse last time we were together and the seventh verse. We've talked about the importance of the blood. We've talked about the importance of the of this animal to be without blemish. And again, the reason of this is important. Number one, it should be something of great perfection. It should be the best, and we should give our best unto the Lord. And so that's we need to understand that. But more so than that is that the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, when he came to earth, lived and died, he was a perfect lamb without blemish. And so the picture, so we need the picture. It's kind of like when a little later here, while we're going to find Moses, and he was instructed of God the first time to strike the rock and water came forth. The second time he was instructed to speak to the rock and water would have come forth. Instead of that, he struck it the second time, and God condemned him for that. He chastised him for that because he was ordered. He was told what to do. You know, it's important that we follow the Word of God. And so I don't want you to miss at all the important picture here and the importance of the nation of Israel. And not, you know, we're talking about a nation, yes, but we're also talking about individual families and then individuals. Everyone needed to follow this in order to be saved from the death angel. Everyone needed to follow the directions. They needed to kill the lamb. They needed to do it with a perfect lamb. They needed to choose it out of the flock 4 days ahead of time. They needed to kill it on the 14th, not on the 13th, not on the 15th. They needed to kill it on the 14th. They were told what time of the day to kill it. Everything is put into place here for God's plan, and we need to follow that plan. We need to do the same thing for our salvation. God says we're saved by grace and grace alone. We don't add baptism. We don't add the Lord's Supper. We don't add things like that that give us forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ bought and paid for our sin. He paid the whole price. We don't need that. Yes, we have the Lord's Supper because we're told in God's Word in remembrance of Him. But it sure isn't for the forgiveness of my sins. Was I baptized? Definitely. Immersion. Immersion is the only baptism because it shows such a beautiful picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's what the Word of God teaches us. And so we need to do that. We need to follow the directions of the Word of God. But did it save me? No, it didn't. I was saved because I got down on my knees and asked Jesus to come into my heart and to save me. That's what saved me. Nothing else. No other works. And Jesus Christ is keeping me. And what a wonderful picture here that we have of the saving power of the blood of Jesus Christ is right here. And so we have the directions. And if anyone veered from that direction, he did not have the salvation of that night. That night, that death angel would have come right into his household and take his firstborn right away from him. And so you see, and if you were the firstborn, say you're the eldest son, and you says, I don't believe this, I'm going to go out and stand in the street because I don't believe this. It's ridiculous. We're not going to do it. Well, if he'd have went out and stood in the street, that house could have been, the blood could have been on the doorpost, on the upper doorpost. It could have, they could have killed the lamb properly. They could have had a lamb without blemish. They would have, the rest of the family would have had their loins girt. They would have roasted the lamb as they were told to. Everything would have been perfect. But that firstborn would have died because he would not have listened to the Word of God. God's Word said, you get into that house. And you put that blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. You put it on there. Because if you don't, that death angel is going to come right through that door. Or if you leave that place, because you see, you got to be covered. You got to be under the blood. Why can I say that I'm saved today? Because I'm under the blood of Jesus Christ. The same principle and the same picture that we have here with this house and this doorpost. What a beautiful picture we have of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And if you've missed that in the past, I hope today that you've seen it. I hope that it's come in the last couple of times we've been together, we talk about it here. And so we ended last time with a verse of Scripture that we read from John chapter 1, verse 29, concerning that Jesus Christ is our Passover Lamb. And I will reread that for you, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians and 1 Peter. John chapter 1, verse 29. John 1, 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, it's John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians. If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I hope that you're taking time to turn your Bible. I hope you know the Word of God. I hope that you can find books of the Bible, and I hope that you can not only say the books of the Bible, but I hope that you can find them. I hope you know where they're located. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. What a picture here. This is the very first Passover, and every Passover that was done, every Passover was a picture, a reminder of what Jesus Christ was going to do. And it wasn't just a reminder generally. Jesus Christ died during the Passover. He was literally the Passover Lamb. It says, die on the 14th day, that evening. Look to see when Jesus Christ died. What a wonderful picture we have. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, you see why I love the Old Testament as much as the New, because of the beautiful pictures that are there. Sometimes you just need to study just a little bit, spend some time in them. Don't just read the Word of God, but study it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. What beautiful verses of Scripture in the New Testament talking about this Passover, the first Passover that's beginning to take place. You know, we look at the Word of God. We've talked about how that the first 11 chapters of the book of Exodus speaks of the deliverer. It's talked about Moses and all the things that his training from the day he was born through Egypt, the days in the wilderness. And now he's beginning his 80th journey, his 80th year. He's beginning to deliver the nation of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And so first 40 years was in Egypt, second 40 years was in the wilderness in deprogramming him from what he learned in Egypt. And now he's prepared and ready to be in service to God for the last the next 40 years, the 80 to 120 years. And then chapters 12 through 14 are the deliverance of the nation of Israel out of the land. And it's something because in the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, we find the creation, the fall, all these things took place. And then in the 12th chapter, we begin with with Abraham. And so as we look, and then there is the building of the great nation of Israel from that chapter all the way through to this chapter, the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, is speaking of one family, the family of Abraham. And so we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jacob's name was changed to Israel. That's where they got their name. They're the Israelites of the family of Israel, of Jacob. And so, but it all began, the promise was given to Abraham originally that he would make them a mighty nation. The purpose of this nation, the purpose of this nation is to present the gospel of God. They are to show who God is to the world. The city of Jerusalem, the land, everything, is the purpose is that people would look to the land of Israel, to the city of Jerusalem, to the temple of God that was built there to worship God. But what we know is that the nation of Israel was disobedient. and they walked away. And so God no longer, they're still his chosen. There's still a special place in God's heart, very special place. So never stand against the nation of Israel. But we need to pray for them that they find the Messiah, Jesus Christ, because they missed him. They missed him. Now, we're coming out of Egypt here, and we're beginning this walk anyway. And we're finding that they had to follow the directions. And as I just said, if they went any other way, it was not going to work. It just wasn't going to work. They had to do it God's way. Please, please come to Jesus Christ by faith today. Trust in him. Turn unto him today, calling upon him. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. You turn to him and salvation will come into your heart. I ask you to do that. Please don't drum up some other means. Don't say, well, that's not the way my church does it, because we have many examples in the Word of God where man has destroyed the Word of God. And if any Israelite stepped outside that door that night and he was the firstborn, he'd be dead. Doesn't matter what his name was. Doesn't matter that his family did everything. It's an individual decision. And so once we decide as an individual to stay within the bounds of this house, and once we decide as a family then to do exactly what we're to do, all our loins are girt, our shoes are on our feet, our staff is in our hand, and we're eating with haste, and we've prepared everything correctly, how close does that tie that family? And so now that that family, and or if it was a couple of families, because remember what they were supposed to do? Remember, if there was if this family was small, then they were supposed to join up with another family and just kill one lamb, and then they would eat together. But the requirements were always the same. The blood on the doorpost, the killing of the lamb that was to be roasted only. It was to be killed at a certain time on a certain day. Everything had to be abided by. And so, but you think of the tie and the strength that is coming as these people by faith did this. They had no idea whether it was going to work. They had no promises. They had God's word. And you see, that's all we need. We don't need some signed sheet of paper that says that. We've got God's word. And we have God's word. We need to not change it. We need to believe it and know it and trust it, and it will come to pass. That's what these people found. That's what these people saw. And so it starts with an individual. An individual had to believe it and be inside the house. Then it grew to a family because each member of that family believed it and did what they were told. And it could be multiple families. There could have been two or three families together or more as they shared this land. But it was all under the same rule and the same direction, and they were all going to witness the same miracle as that death angel come through and didn't touch their household. Then what a strength you have. And you know, as we come together in a church and we worship and praise together and we watch the miracles of God of a soul being saved and souls growing, that's the greatest miracle, to see that one coming out of the world. And so see that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. See that you're walking after Christ, and please, please, that you do it God's way. Don't drum up your own way. Do it God's way. Now, we have everything in place, and we find that they were to put the blood on the doorposts. They shall eat the flesh that night roasted with fire. Now, any time that we have fire in the Word of God, it is a judgment, and it produces cleansing. But it's judgment. And so here we have this judgment that's coming up on the land. And so as we find the representation of the preparing, how that this lamb was prepared, it speaks of judgment, because you see, sin requires payment. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. That's the payment. That's the only payment. And this lamb died as a picture. Now, this lamb could take no sins away. None. as Isaac couldn't take any sins away when God had Abraham to bring him forth and offer him up, and we know that he found a bullock caught in the thicket there, a ram caught in the thicket, and brought sacrifice over and offered that instead of Isaac. But if Isaac would have died, he couldn't have taken away one sin because Isaac wasn't perfect. This is a lamb without blemish. It's as perfect as the world can have it. But Jesus Christ is not of this world. He is perfect, and he is our sacrificial lamb, and he did pay the ultimate price for sin. We must come by faith to him and not make up any other way or thought. And so the roast with fire, we needed to understand there is judgment here. And then we have the next, and that is the unleavened bread. Now, this is the first time that we're going to talk about this leaven. And the leaven, it points to evil. From this time on, leaven always represents evil. And so we have in the New Testament, we're not going to take time to look them up, but I'd like for you to do that. There is a reference to the leaven concerning the scribes and the Pharisees, Sadducees and the Pharisees, these groups. And you'll find that in Luke 12:1, and it shows the relationship between leaven and these groups of people. And in Matthew 16, verses 6 and 12, then kind of complete what you see in Luke chapter 12, verse 1. And then it shows us of the worldliness. You'll find that in Mark 8:15. It connects the leaven with the world and worldliness. And then we have our conduct, the wicked conduct, in 1 Corinthians 5:6. And you know, we just read that just a few minutes ago. And then we have false doctrine that is taught, and that is connected with leaven, and you'll find that in Galatians 5:9. And so as we look at these, first of all, we have the lamb roasted. It speaks of judgment. We have the leaven, which leaven itself is wicked and evilness, and so we have taken the leaven out, and so it's important that it's the unleavened bread. And then next, we have the bitter herbs. And you know, this cup that the Lord Jesus Christ was to drink for us was bitter. He died for us. He was beaten for us. He was spit upon for us. He was ridiculed for us. All of our sins were placed upon him, and he tasted of death for us so that we can live. And these bitter herbs, you know, there was the death on the cross, and there are times when we walk with Jesus Christ that there are things that are bitter in this old world because, you know, the old world hates God. The old world hates the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see and witness how much that the world tries to get out any evidence of God whatsoever. Any evidence. And so, and the more they try to succeed to do that, and the more they do succeed, the less of God's blessing will be on this land. You know, people are taught that we need to get along, we need to love all of them. You know, my friend, I love the person, but if they're worshiping another god, then I hate that sin. Love the person, but hate the sin. And so if you expect me to love the teaching of these cults that are around today, if you expect me to love the false teaching that are in so many churches today, I hate it. Now, I love those people. I desire with my heart that those people will be saved, will come by faith to Jesus Christ. Preachers all the way down need to find salvation in Jesus Christ and him alone, not in some other doctrine and some other teaching. And so I hate what is taught. I despise leaven. It's leaven. It's sin. But I love those people because they have a soul, and they have a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. And their God, as the God of Egypt in Pharaoh's day here, their God could not get them to the place of paradise, the place of heaven. The only place that their God can get them is to the lake of fire. and they in truth don't even need that God to get them there because they're naturally going there. So please come by faith to Jesus Christ. Trust in Him today. Be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember what we said, Jesus dying, the Lamb dying. If the Lamb would have just died, that wouldn't have done anything if you wouldn't have followed through with the precious blood, applying the blood. The blood has got to be applied to you. Every individual has got to be applied to you. And here, where it was applied over the doorpost, you had to be in that house to get its application to you. It just didn't cover the, if the man that put it on the side post and the top post and walked outside and looked at it and said, okay, I've done what I'm supposed to do, but he stayed outside and he was the firstborn, he'd have died. He has to come in. You have to come into Jesus Christ today. Be covered by His precious blood. You've got to be. There is no other way. So if you question your salvation today, I ask that you write to me, please. Let me know so I can talk to you concerning the simple plan of salvation. I'm not going to talk to you about joining this church. I would love to have you at this church, a born-again believer that's just come by faith to Jesus Christ so we can search and study the Word of God. But to be a member of this church isn't going to save you. The only way you're going to be saved is you become born again, come by faith to Jesus Christ. We have the blood. We have the lamb roasted. We have the unleavened bread. We've talked about the bitter herbs. Verse 9, eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs. And we need to understand that the preparation, the proper preparation of that. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. And so as we look at the lamb, the preparation of the lamb, everything is done properly. But you know, the most common thing would be for us to do is figure out some way of keeping this meat, and we're going to take it with us because we're going to hit the road. And we need some provisions for us. They were to take nothing concerning their food because God was going to care for them. God will care for us. We need to listen to the Word of God. We need to follow the Word of God. And what a promise here. But they were to take nothing. Let nothing of it remain. And so you see, it's finished. The work of salvation is over. And what a beautiful picture. And Jesus Christ is the same way. He doesn't, you know, some people believe that He has to die every day because they lose their salvation. Then they get their salvation back. Then they lose their salvation. Well, you realize what you're saying? That means the Son of God has to come here over and over again and die on that cross over and over again for your sin. Because you undoubtedly don't believe that He did it once and for all, because He tells us that He did. And seeing how Jesus died 2,000 years ago for me, and I'm only 53 years old, and if you look at that age, how in the world could Jesus die for me 2,000 years ago and take my sin away? I hadn't committed a one yet. Well, that's exactly why He can take my sin away from the day that I was born till the day I was saved, and He knows the sin that I'm going to commit from that day on till the day I die. He knows my heart. And you see, if you know Jesus Christ, you've got the Holy Spirit within your heart, you're born again, and He's going to show you the way to walk. Please, come by faith to Jesus Christ today and be saved. So we have everything taken care of. And the last and final steps, we are to, thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girt, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Eat it in haste. Now, we need to be busy about God's work. We need to have the armor of God up on every day. We need to be busy about His work, concerned about the salvation of souls. We need to be preaching the Word of God, whether to one individual or to a whole crowd. It doesn't matter. We need to speak the Word of God clearly that folks will come by faith to Jesus Christ. Please, that you understand, it says, with your loins girt, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, ye shall eat it in haste. We got stuff to do. We got no time. You know, today the only purpose that people have is to retire and sit down and put their feet up and get in their boat, get in their camper, go south for the winter, whatever you might do. You be careful, because I tell you what, it's awful easy for you to get busy with the world and relaxing, and God's telling us to go with haste. Now here, there's a plan. That plan is all put in place by the Word of God. We have His plan of salvation. So please, my dear friend, come by faith to Jesus Christ. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?